Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season's worth of podcasts from the News Tribune. This is the Jefferson City Jays football podcast. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And Trevor, I guess the before we get started about the Jays, let's start a little bit on you, because you're going to be a new beat reporter for the Jays this year. So why don't you tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself and how you've come to be in this role.
Well, I got here in the middle of last December. I graduated from Missouri State last fall. You know, just a big sports fan, always loved covering sports, and covered a lot of Jays so far, Jays basketball, Jays baseball, and, you know, just settling in nicely here to Jeff City.
Well, that's good. Well, this will be your first go-round with the prep football scene here locally. You're going to be part of a program that is going to have a little bit of change going on, so it's good, I guess, to bring in a change of the beat reporter as well. But let's start off with, again, it's a new season. There's always plenty of storylines to talk about when you get to a new season. But as far as the Jays go this year, let's look back a little bit and go, how did last season end, and how does that maybe springboard you into this season then?
So last year and first year under Coach Damon Wells, they started out a little bit slow, but then the offense really started getting going down the stretch of last season. They ran the ball really effectively. They ended up losing in the district final to Hannibal, but that was a really good team. They ended up taking second in the state, but it seemed like this wing tee offense really found their footing down the end of the stretch last season, and that's definitely going to carry over to this year, just learning the system and having that familiarity with already knowing what it's going to look like.
Sure. I was going to say that, you know, they're probably a little bit more used to the system. The only problem with it is a couple of the people that were really good at running that system are going to be different this year. So we'll get to the defense in a minute, but starting with the offense, obviously, we do have some new faces and some key roles for the Jays this
year. Yeah, so some mainstays last year. Hayden Wells at quarterback, he's now gone. That was the coach's kid. He brought that familiarity of the system. He's been running it with his dad for the past few years. He's gone. Kevion Pendleton and David Bethune running the football, the two people that led the offense in rushing, they're gone. But replacing them, Jacob Wilson at quarterback this year, he ran the ball some last year at running back. Very athletic kid. He runs track. He's a sprinter on the track team. But they do bring back some people in the running back room. Zane Wings, Ethan Garnett, both got some touches last year, if I'm correct on that. And then Cantrell Jordan, those will be the running backs. And they all bring different kind of skill sets to it.
Okay.
Garnett's going to be the bruiser. He's a linebacker on the other end. He's just a big physical kid. Zane Wings is kind of the same. He's another linebacker. And then Cantrell Jordan looks like he's going to be the one that's going to be able to make people miss in space.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be three different kind of paces with those. So that'll definitely be interesting to see.
I was going to say, that's something that coaches probably got to like, because a lot of times, you know, the wing tee is tricky enough anyway for a lot of teams to game plan for when you're trying to stop that offense. But it becomes even more problematic for teams to try to stop when you do have those change of pace backs where not every guy is bringing the same thing to the table. So I got to imagine for Coach Wells, that's probably a really nice thing for him to have, is to be going, okay, if we want to hit him with this or hit him with that, we have those options. Because again, you want to be multifaceted, and especially with that offense, if you can get people a different look, sometimes that's just enough to just discombobulate somebody.
Yeah, and the biggest thing going for them this year is they're going to have their entire offensive line back. It's a big physical offensive line led by Brody Smith. And, I mean, second year in the system, they're familiar with everything, and just having the same unit, and that's the biggest thing with an offensive line for me, is communication and just making sure everybody's assignment's sound. And so they're already one step ahead of the game in that aspect.
This may sound like a stupid question when it comes to the wing tee, but do we expect them to throw much this year?
So that is one thing that has been talked about a lot. I think they had 16 or 17 pass attempts in the three Jamboree games out of 36 plays.
Okay.
And so that That is a big step from last year from what I saw. And from what coaches told me so far this year, it's going to be whatever they think they need to do.
Okay.
So if they think they see a weakness in the defense in the passing game, they're going to throw the ball more. And, I mean, a lot of the time, I still think they're going to see an advantage with their offensive line up front and try and play some smash mouth football. So it's going to be a week to week thing, but I think they do have the capability to throw the ball more this year.
As we flip to the other side of the ball, let's talk about the defense a little bit. How are things looking from that standpoint in terms of, one, you know, maybe returning players, and then also, two, you know, are we sticking with the same system? How are things looking, and how does that sort of shape up as we get prepared for the season?
So they're running the 3-4 again this year. Defense, it wasn't really a secret that that was kind of what held them back a little bit last year. They gave up over 30 points a game while sure. also scoring over 30 points
right.
a game. So, yes, they do bring back 7 defensive starters. I think the defensive leader is going to be Ethan Garnett, big physical athletic linebacker, and the D-line has been what they have told me has been the most impressive unit so far,
oh, okay.
which is filled up with a lot of the same people from the offensive line, and I think they're going to be able to spell not just the starting three, but I think they have 3 people right behind them that they're comfortable with.
Okay.
So it should be a physical defense, and if they play some assignment sound football on that side, I think they should be solid.
So I'll get back to more about the defense in a second, but let's talk about that going both ways. Do we see that happening with a lot of guys, or is that just going to be maybe player-specific in terms of if a guy's dominant enough, he's going to go both ways? Or is that something where how's the, I guess, the overall team depth in terms of will that be a factor in deciding who goes, how many players play both ways?
It seems like almost everybody that starts is playing both ways except for Jacob Wilson, because you don't particularly want your quarterback to be on the field
sure.
the entire time
right.
taking that many hits, but it seems like all the other key players on offense are also going to be the key players on defense.
Okay.
And they do have some depth, and they're going to have to get into that at some point.
Sure.
But I think early in the season they are going to rely on those the top of that roster a lot.
Do we have an idea of kind of what the total numbers are for the program at this point? Or
I'm not 100% sure on how many players they have on the roster. I know they do have a lot of younger guys that are knocking on the door for playing time.
Okay.
But it's going to be a lot of the upperclassmen to start the year at least.
Sure. So going back to the defense then, obviously we mentioned up front, and you did mention it too, it was kind of a maligned group last year from the standpoint of, you know, if the Jays were going to win last year, they knew they were going to have to win shootouts. Do we feel like that might be the same type of thing this year, or expecting maybe something different? Or, again, it's early to tell, we don't know for sure, but how does maybe the coaching staff give you an opinion on if they can improve on last year's performance, including just from a point per game standpoint or also a slowing people down standpoint?
So it seems like last year they were kind of bitten by big plays and tackling issues. And one thing I've noticed so far from the preseason and from the Jamboree is they do seem like they are a pretty good tackling team.
Okay.
It seemed like that was a stressing point in the offseason. And I was impressed, linebackers and defensive backs, they were able to tackle, and it wasn't taking 2 or 3 guys to get to the football to bring somebody down.
Sure.
They, like, even the cornerbacks, like one-on-one tackles in space seemed to be something that could be a positive for this team. So it might take them a little bit to get going on defense, like most high schools do early in the season, but I do think it could be a lot better unit than it was last year.
Okay. How are we looking special teams-wise? Do we have any returners at any key spots, or is there going to be new people and new faces?
So JoJo Custer is going to be the kicker and punter and place kicker as well. And, I mean, the kid's got a big leg. I'm not sure who was kick returning and punt returning last year, but I think that's going to be a strong suit as well. We haven't got to see it live action
sure.
yet because
right.
of Jamboree, but it seems like they're pretty happy with their special teams unit so far.
Okay. It's early. You know, we don't usually think about it much at this point in the season as far as when we get longer into the season. But injuries will become a point at some point in the season. How are we in terms of entering into the season? Do we think we have the full complement of people we have? And then, you know, again, with that depth, how do we feel like we're going into the season just in terms of having all hands on deck?
It seems like they have not made up their mind 100% on who is going to be those people that have to fill in if there were injuries.
Okay.
From what I've heard, there are a few options, and they're not going to go ahead and commit to that yet, from what I've been told. So it could be a variety of different things, but I do think depth could be a little bit of an issue. But, I mean, it's very early,
sure,
so you
sure.
never know.
Turning our attention to week one, you know, you're always kind of anxious to get started. You're always kind of interested to test yourself against somebody else, see where you stand, because after a certain point, you know, it's tough running things as an offense against a defense that pretty much knows what you're going to do. So this is going to be your first kind of, other than the Jamboree where everybody kind of hides what they're doing anyway, this will be your first kind of real test, real live action. The opponent is Osage. You go on the road to Osage. So what do you think? think the Jays are expecting from their week one opponent?
So, I mean, that's another wing T offense that School of the Osage runs. From what coach has told me, it's supposed to be a physical battle.
Okay.
He really likes how Osage gets off the ball. He likes their they return basically their whole offensive line, four out of their five starters. So it's expected to be a game in the trenches, which should be a fun one to watch.
I guess that then leads us to the natural point of the end point of the podcast, which is prediction time. You're new to this, but we don't know what to really expect from week one, but maybe what's your gut instinct for how this one plays out on Friday night?
So I think both teams are going to want to control the clock. School of the Osage doesn't have their quarterback back from last year. Neither does Jefferson City, obviously. I think Jefferson City has the advantage with that because I really like what I've seen from Jacob Wilson. But I think it's going to be a physical matchup, like I just mentioned, and it's going to be a battle with these offensive lines in the trenches, and I think that definitely favors Jefferson City. They have the bigger line on both sides, so I'm going to say a lower-scoring game, but I think Jefferson City probably takes this one home, 31-14, somewhere in there.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.